Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Truth Again podcast. My good buddy Mike Baldwin. We got a lot to talk about today, as always. Super Tuesday came and went, and looks good for your boy Donnie. And
no, he's screwed. He lost Vermont.
Yeah, and Washington D.C.
Mm-hmm. The yeah. two the Republican bastions of the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah, and Nikki Haley still hasn't officially dropped out. You know, she's just kind of waiting in the wings to see if you know, somehow Trump gets murdered or something like that. Because at this point, that's kind of what it's going to take, especially after the Supreme Court ruling. Before we get into all that, though.
No, well, hold on. Let me. Okay. Nikki Haley did drop out, I'm pretty sure.
Well, I thought she's like suspended her campaign rather than completely dropping out.
Well, I mean, that's the same thing, though. The what did she say? The time has now come to suspend my campaign. Yada, yada, yada. I've always been a conservative Republican, and I've always supported the Republican nominee. But on this question, as she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher. What? All right. It's up now to Donald Trump to earn the vote. Those in our party and beyond it. Anyway, yeah, no. So she's out. Like, that's just what they say. Like, I'm suspending my campaign.
Well, and we also went to vote the other night just for the primary stuff. And there's still DeSantis is still on the list. Christie, Cruz, right. all of them.
Well, yeah, because they put their names on there way back when. They had to go and, like, file in every state or whatever. So that's part of it, too, because she's still going to be on some of the upcoming ballots. But she's like, no, my campaign's suspended, so I'm not really doing this anymore. She'll still get some votes no matter what, the same way that DeSantis still got a tiny percent of votes and on Super Tuesday, you know?
Yeah, well, you and I will probably get a few votes.
Yeah, I would hope so. That would actually be cool to be like, and in 387th place with two votes, Mike Baldwin. I'd be like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. So 386 of these buttholes die. I'm the guy. before we start talking too much more about any of that stuff, though, did you hear that Jake Paul is going to fight Mike Tyson? And do you have any thoughts about that? Do you give a shit?
I give a shit as far as I'm excited to watch Mike Tyson beat the shit out of somebody, I assume, unless he's too old now. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, people show videos of him like training and he still looks great for a 57-year-old guy training. But, you know, I never participated in sports at that level, obviously. But it's one thing to look like you can still do something and another thing to actually be able to, like, he looked fine. He looked like, you know, he could still box against, I forget the guy's name now, but he was great too back in the day, but they're both old. The last time he fought. But people forget that Tyson wasn't the Tyson of old, even at the end of his career when he was still
right
close to his fighting age. And now he's 57. And what I'm afraid of is that Jake Paul is going to beat Tyson because Jake Paul can actually fight and he's a lot younger and it's just not the same thing. You know, people think Tyson's just going to go in there and clean his clock. And I don't know that he is, dude. I'm afraid he's going to get fucking beat by Jake Paul. And I just don't want to see that.
I don't know. It's on July 20th, and it says it's going to be on Netflix. I wonder if Netflix is going to pay-per-view it or if you just get to watch it if you have Netflix.
Oh, I would say it's got to be a pay-per-view.
Yeah, I would assume that as well, unless Netflix is just paying all of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would be a lot for them, though. I mean, it's rumored to be the biggest. It's going to be the biggest watched fight in history, which is also kind of lame. You know, you got a guy who hasn't been relevant in boxing for what, 30 years, and then a guy who never was, and those guys are the biggest draw there's ever been in boxing. Boxing used to be great. I used to love boxing. I used to love HBO fights and like those Friday and Saturday night deals, you know, where they hyped it up and everything. And now it's just kind of, boxing's not really all that cool anymore.
No, I mean it. Now it's all about the. I think boxing is too boring to be the internet thing. Like, people don't want to sit and watch 10 3-minute rounds or whatever. They're like, I ain't got that kind of time. Like, I'll just watch the 3 minutes of highlights when it's over, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and
Maybe.
boxing is kind of boring as far as like you almost have to know, and the society we live in isn't patient enough to wait for something to unfold and be like, this is a great fight or whatever. They just want to see fucking blood and let's, kill each
Yeah.
other in 3 rounds, like you said. And that's why UFC has gotten so big, but I've never really gotten that much into UFC either.
No, me neither. I've been at a few like watch parties or whatever, and that's always exciting when you get a big crowd. I assume it would be fun to watch in real life too, you know? But yeah, that's the same way. Like, so many of the fights, you're just like, come on. Like,
Yeah.
do something cool.
Well, and so much of boxing is like one of those things where you can't even, unless your eye is trained for it, you can't even really tell what's going on. Like there's so much footwork involved and all this kind of stuff that's it's kind of boring. It's just like people are always talking about growing the sport of wrestling, and I'm like, wrestling is never going to be huge. It's too hard to understand. It's boring to most people. They don't, know the work that goes into it. It's just not ever going to be that sport. Maybe it will. I don't know. Wrestling is certainly a lot bigger than it was when I was doing it, but I don't know. But we'll see. I was just watching this clip earlier on Tyson, and I mean, he definitely looks like he can still fight, but his last few professional fights were like, this is kind of sad. Like he's not the same guy
Yeah.
after he went away for rape. It just kind of.
That'll do it.
Yeah. It's also interesting how, as a society, we forgive certain people and hold them in high esteem. Most people that were convicted of rape would never be embraced by society again. And Tyson was convicted of rape, and people are like, ah, that was bullshit. I'm like, well, I don't know if it wasn't bullshit or if it was bullshit, but certainly the girl who the 18-year-old girl who got raped thought it wasn't bullshit.
Why do I know that her name was Robin Givens?
No, that was his ex-wife.
Oh, was
Des
it?
Desiree Washington was the girl that he supposedly raped.
Ah.
And a lot of people are like, well, he didn't penetrate her. He just like held her down and forced oral sex on her. And I'm like, well, can you think of anything more scary than Mike Tyson forcibly eating your junk? That would be pretty fucking traumatizing.
Yeah. He served 3 years in prison for it.
Well, which is still like way longer than a lot of pedophiles serve these days. Speaking of that, I only watched about 30 minutes of it, and then there's like 9 hours of it that I could have watched, but it was like this Pizzagate thing, and it was pretty interesting. And but then I like looked at something else on my phone, and then I could never find it again. I don't know if that's the Illuminati messing with me
Could be.
or what. I'm kind of glad it happened because I would have spent my entire day just watching that shit. But what I did get from it was that there has been a lot of high-level politicians that have gotten and Hollywood actors and all that stuff, and it's all stuff that you can look up and see, oh wow, that's true. They were convicted of pedophilia and all that shit, and some of them are still working in Hollywood. A lot of the people who got busted are tight with, the Clintons and Obamas and Trudeau and all those people. Like, it's all verifiable stuff. So I understand why the general population doesn't want to believe that stuff. I mean, I don't, it's hard for me to believe sometimes, and I'm pretty conspiratorial these days. But it's still hard to imagine some of that stuff being that way. But that kind of shit has gone on for thousands of years,
Yeah, we've talked about that before, about the old stories of, you know, sacrificing a virgin or something. Like in the movies, they always make it like a hot 23-year-old or something like that. And like, she's never been with anyone. And it's like, no, a virgin is anything that hasn't had sex, any human. So it's like, who are the easiest ones to find? Like, bring your baby over here. Like, it's definitely a virgin.
Yeah.
We're going to chop its head off and either please the gods or get high on its blood or whatever the fuck they do. Like, there's been a reason for that shit to happen as long as we've had civilizations.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's pretty compelling stuff as far as just like, man, you know, is I know Trump was the best president we've ever had as far as like bringing human traffickers and all that stuff to justice. And sometimes you just wish that he would talk more about that stuff, but I guess he would also, like you said earlier in a text message, people aren't ready to hear that stuff yet.
No, not at all.
Even if it's true, they're not ready to hear it. So who knows, man?
Yeah, we got to convince people that Joe Biden took bribes first. We got to convince people that Nancy Pelosi is doing insider trading. Once shit like that starts becoming public knowledge, then people will start to be like, oh, all this other stuff is true also. Like, people just have to go through their own awakening, as they say, at their own speed, you know, like, I don't know. People find out different things at different rates. I don't know, you know?
Yeah. Well, and like my wife's always pointing out, you know, like she kind of quit paying attention to a lot of this stuff after she watched something about AI and how it's so easy to fake videos and this and that, you know, like it would suck to find out, you know, that we've been wrong about everything because all these videos we've seen are all fake. And I don't think that's the case, but I'm just saying it would suck to find that out. And but she's right. Like, it's so easy to fake anything these days that it's just hard to know. And they can always claim that, like, that's not even true. You know, like, what? That's the video. You see Hillary Clinton doing all the shit they said she did. And like, that's not even real. And then half the people who don't want to believe it are like, yeah, that's not even real. Fuck it. You know?
Yeah. But I think there's that transition with any new form of media, you know, like I always think back to like how kings used to have rings with like a thing on it, and when they would roll up a letter, they'd put wax on it and then they'd poke it with their ring so it had like their emblem or whatever on there. So that's how you knew this was really from the king. And then, you know, the hackers of the day would just like see the king kneel on the street or whatever so they could kiss his ring and like get a good mental image of it and then redraw it back at the shop or whatever and make their own fake ring and then send fake letters and I don't know what, you know, start wars or get free shit or whatever they used to do, you know, that would be a thing. Like they would go to their local, whatever the fuck that guy's called, with their fake letter with the real king thing on it. And they'll be like, this is from the king. He says to give us another goat or whatever. And the guy's like, okie doke. And the guy's just like, dude, we can do this all the time. Like, but eventually they figured out, however, you know, like, no, this is the real king thing. Or they made him change his ring or something, you know. And it's the same with, like, writing. Well, that's the king thing, I guess. What comes next? Like, sound audio recordings, like, they could recreate a fake one. Photoshop is another good example. Like at first we're like, oh my God, is this really a bird with a man's head? And now it's like, no, that's clearly Photoshop, dude. Like we can tell easily now when something is Photoshopped. Like these fake videos are going to be the same way. Like for a while, we're all going to be like, oh my God, is that real? And then 10 years from now, people that are 3 years old today are going to be like, that's so fake. Like you can tell, because of this and this or whatever. So I'm not real worried about that. Maybe for the next year or so, but so it might affect the election somehow, but who knows?
Speaking of like AI and all that stuff, have you noticed that on Facebook now, if you go to make a post, AI has a thing like, we can make this better. We can make it funny. We can do this. We can do that. I'm like, I don't like that at all. I think, you know, it's, we already live in a fake enough society where you can make yourself look like you don't look at all. Like, I have family members that put up pictures of themselves and I'm like, I just saw them. They don't look like that, you know?
Oh yeah. But even now, like I've seen enough AI pictures of girls that I'm like, this is AI. This is not what this chick really looks like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they look a little shinier, a little brighter, a little better. Like, you can just sort of tell.
Yeah. There's this one girl in particular. I won't say her name because she's a nice girl, but I've seen pictures of her on Facebook and I'm like, geez, I know she's like a year younger than me and man, she looks good. And then I've seen her in person and I'm like, wait a second. That ain't you. Anyway, where do we want to go now? So Nikki Haley is out, but she's still kind of in, but I guess all of them are. That I was listening to X22 long enough to hear him say that she suspended her campaign, but she's still like waiting in the wings to see if Trump gets murdered or something and be like, hey, I was the runner up. Just let me.
Yeah. But I could see, hold on here. I'm going to look up,
And he also, while you're looking that up, he also said something about, you know, it does sound like the military has to be protecting him because he can't just have the run of the mill security because he would have been dead a long time ago. I feel like.
Who, Trump?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, he's got like the best that you can get.
Yeah.
Obviously, or he would be dead by now. You know, yeah. That. Tried sending like gang members after him or something like that, like trying to sneak people into rallies. Like, stuff has obviously happened and they just don't want to tell us about it because they don't want to provoke copycats or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Plus, if I don't know, man, it seems like they would be willing to blow up a building and hundreds of people or thousands of people just to get to him. And they obviously haven't done that yet.
Well, the Secret Service does a sweep of every floor of the building, like the day before and the morning of. They block off traffic, so like no vehicles are getting in. If there's like a van bomb or something, like it's not getting anywhere near that building. So, yeah. You know, what else could they do unless they just shoot a rocket at it from like a mile away?
Yeah.
But well, even no, then, I bet they've got like helicopters in the air to intercept rockets and that kind of shit. Like, they've probably got every fucking possible angle covered, dude. Yeah. They probably sit around in a circle and they're like, give me anything. Come on. And the guy's like, blow dart. And they're like, ooh, okay. All right. So if there's a guy with a blow dart, we're going to do this. Like, they plan for every fucking scenario you can think of.
Plus, there's also that aspect of, you know, I've been to a Trump rally now and seen how dedicated those people are to Trump. I mean, there's also that layer of security. Like, if anyone tried to kill him by traditional means, so to speak, they'd be ripped from limb to limb from limb. I mean, yep. Trump supporters are fucking hardcore, man. They they are pretty pretty, I don't know, pretty out there.
Some of them are, yeah, probably a large percentage of them. But I mean, that's the
beauty of it.
Yeah, it is, because it's well, for one, if you take any large group of people, you can find several that are fuck ups, you know, and be like, look at the kind of people that support this guy. But then you could also probably find like a guy that went to Harvard in the Trump rally crowd, maybe one, right? Like, I guess, I don't know how many people have gone to Harvard in our lives.
I don't know if they're at the rally, but I know they're out there. I mean, anyone with a, I don't know, we've talked about it a million times, but I don't know anybody who's just like, Biden's the guy. And Michelle Obama recently came out and said, excuse me, that she wasn't going to run and that the rumors are all bullshit. But first of all, there's no way she would say that. She would admit it now. She couldn't admit it now.
Right.
So I'm not completely sold that she's not going to come out and be like, you know, I never wanted to do this, but I have to because I love America and my husband. And
it's very possible.
That's what she would never say, but I guarantee old Barry's like, come on, baby, you gotta do this. I'm screwed. They're gonna find out. They know what I did.
He's probably saying they know what we did.
And she's like, I don't have anything to do with it. And he's just like, come on, baby.
Not that it matters, but in their history, 315,000 people have gone to Harvard, and about 120,500 have graduated, which is only 38%. So what is that? 62% of people that went to Harvard never graduated from Harvard. So
Wow.
they failed.
Yeah, losers.
I mean, they might have gone off to another school and gotten their degree or whatever, but they still failed at becoming a Harvard graduate. You know, that wasn't their original plan.
I've got a niece who is currently being courted, for lack of a better way to say it, by fucking Yale. They reached out to her. She never even applied. Her grades are just so good, and she's done so many extracurricular activities that they're just like, you know, if you come here and your parents don't make X amount of dollars, we'll pay for everything. They're already, and she's only a junior in high school. So,
Wow.
yeah, good for her. She's a smart kid. She's also, she's smart in a lot of ways. She's not just book smart. She's just got a good head on her shoulders. I'm pretty happy for her. But anyway, what are we going to talk about now? What do we got? What else do we got going on? Trump, destroyed Super Tuesday like most people thought he would. And
Correct.
I guess the biggest news is the Supreme Court, saying that no states can, is it, it's no states can keep him off the ballot, right? Not just Colorado.
Well, I think the main thing that they said was that you can't remove somebody from the ballot for insurrection if they haven't been found guilty of insurrection. And they were like, first, Congress has to do something. They were like, this is up to Congress. It's not up to the individual states or the secretaries of state or anything like that. So, no, you guys can't take them off the ballot for this. But I don't think they straight up said a president cannot be taken off of the ballot.
Well, yeah, there, if no legit court is ever going to convict him of that, because there's mountains of evidence that suggest that he did not cause an insurrection. And I guess they are ramping up r arresting people still for January 6th, though, which is crazy to me. You know, like, that's one of the things in the Constitution is peaceful protests. And most of it, you know, you talk about mostly peaceful, it was mostly peaceful, or they could have destroyed that building, you know?
Yeah, well, and plus nobody was armed either.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, how can you plan an insurrection and be like, we're just gonna fucking punch them.
Yeah.
We're gonna take over this government with kicks and punches.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we've got a bunch of videos. Do you want to just jump into some of those?
Yeah, we should have some good ones this week, so.
Well, here, since we were talking about Trump, play that. It's like 20 seconds.
These legal travails that he has, all of these indictments, all of these lawsuits and so on, has given him a chance to look indomitable, look strong, look resilient. And that's actually in some ways helped him. Now, the main cases haven't gone to trial yet. That could be a different story. But he's actually used these to propel himself to this moment.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
that was even shorter than I thought. But yeah, I like how CNN bends everything to be like Trump is doing this on purpose. Like, Trump is using this to make himself better or look better. And it's like, no, this is just what is happening to him. And we are all thinking he's better because we know it's bullshit. We know that if you could have jailed him on Russian collusion or quid pro quo or whatever the fuck you impeached him over, then you would. But you can't because none of that's illegal. So you're finding all these obscure ass laws and trying to nail him on that, and none of it's working. None of it's worked yet, at least. I'm still eager to find out what happens with the Fonnie Davis, or Fonnie Willis Davis.
Willis.
Either way, I'm excited to see what that judge says about that, because Yeah, there's a lot going on in that thing, but we don't have video any of that, so it doesn't matter. But let's see.
They're never going to convict him on anything, dude. It's laughable at this point.
Yeah, perhaps. All right, here we're going to go through a few things of the other side being full of shit. Here's Merrick Garland talking about how IDs are racist or whatever.
Yeah, this guy makes me want to vomit. Him and Mayorkas and all of them.
Right to vote is still under attack. And that is why the Justice Department is fighting back. That is why one of the first things I did when I came into office was to double the size of the voting section of the Civil Rights Division. That is why we are challenging efforts by states and jurisdictions to implement discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary restrictions on access to the ballot, including those related to mail-in voting, the use of drop boxes, and voter ID requirements. That is why we are working to block the adoption of discriminatory redistricting plans that dilute the vote of black voters and other voters of color.
Well, the thing that bothers me about that is that they're not going to do anything about redistricting because both sides are equally involved in that. Both sides want to constantly do redistricting shit. What is that called? Gerrymandering? Where, yeah. Like, and it makes sense the way that they do it, but the point is both sides are going to continue to do it because that's how it has to be done. You can't just have a grid system, you know, perfect squares all over the country and say this square is this district and this square, because then you're going to have a million people in one square and you're going to have 13 people in another square. So they draw like weird circles all over the map. So they're like, all right, we got this equal chunk of people here, this equal chunk here. And then they look at the map and they're like, but this neighborhood is like an all black neighborhood. So that's like 80% Democrat vote. So you're just taking that neighborhood because you know you're going to get that Democrat vote. So let's redraw these lines. Like, both sides all the time are going at that. So nothing's going to be done about that. The voter ID thing, I think more and more people are realizing that the arguments behind that are bullshit. Everybody can get an ID. Nobody. It's a very small sliver of people who are interested in politics enough to want to vote, but not enough that they don't care about anything else in life that requires an ID. You know what I mean?
Oh, of course. Yeah, it's not only racist to say that, but it's just comical that people think that, oh, this guy can't get an ID. He can't figure that out, but he's really got his pulse on the political stuff going on in the,
Right. Well, and then that gets into mail-in voting and drop boxes, which a lot of states and cities in since the last election have passed stuff that says, like, if you need an absentee ballot, if you're going to be out of town or you're sick or whatever, like, sure, you can get one, but none of this shit like we did last time. No mass anything, no mass mailing, no mass putting things in drop boxes. Like, they've basically outlawed the version that they did of that in 2020. And this is what Merrick Garland's fighting against, is saying, like, we as Americans should have a right to mail a ballot to everybody and make it as easy as possible. And it's like the Constitution or the laws or whatever don't say anything about how easy voting should be. It's just, it's like your public duty. It's duty implies you have to go out of your way to do something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, next thing you know, you're going to have mail-in jury duty and be like, just send me the video of the guy on the stand and then I'll tell you guilty or not.
Yeah, I haven't been hit up for jury duty in a long time. The last time they tried to get me to do it, I told them I was young, but I was like, I have a problem with authority and I have a feeling no matter what this guy did, I'm going to say not guilty. And they're like, you're dismissed.
Yeah, I got called in for jury duty last year. It was a police brutality case, and I was like one of the first people, and I was even like, yeah, I'll be fair, you know, and answered all the questions right and everything. But I still think they were just like shaved head, white guy with a beard. Like, no, we don't want him.
Yeah. My wife got to do a murder, so that was pretty cool. If you're going to do one, that'd be the best one to do.
Was the guy guilty?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, like, it was like an appeal case. Yeah, it was pretty interesting, I guess. I mean, she told me about it like afterwards because she's not supposed to. She never said shit to me during it.
Right. You're like, how was your day? And she's like, mm-mm. Nope, nothing coming from these lips.
Yeah.
No, like the first thing that I did when I got dismissed was go outside and sit in my car and look it up on the internet. And I was like, oh man, there's all sorts of news stories about this and stuff.
Even though you weren't supposed to?
I had already been dismissed, so I was allowed to by that point. But
okay,
that was like the first thing they said was like, if you get picked, like, don't look any of this shit up on the internet. Like, we want to give you our official version of everything.
Well, and it's so on an honor basis, you know, that's what's kind of funny about it. It's kind of archaic in that way, you know, like there's a lot of people who don't believe in God, but they're like, swear on the Bible. Like, all right.
Yeah. You promise you're telling the truth based on this thing you don't believe in. And you're like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, you bet I do. I guess that's not the point. It was just symbolic, but still. What's this video we got here?
That's some more border related stuff. This is Mayorkas contradicting himself. And the point behind all this is Biden and most Democrats today are like, look, we'd love to stop these illegal immigrants from coming over the border, but we just can't. We need Congress to pass something that can help us. And the Republicans the whole time have been like, we don't need to pass anything. You just need to enforce the laws. And they were like, no, that's not true. And so then this video is Mayorkas, who is our, what's his official title?
He's the attorney general. He's the Homeland Security guy, Mayorkas. Right.
There you go. So, he's saying like, we undid everything that Trump did. And then Biden saying things like, oh, yeah, no, we can take more people. Like, these people need a place to go. Like, that kind of stuff. Just play it.
Before we do, we should say that the State of the Union is tonight. And we decided to not wait until tomorrow, even though, you know, this is largely we talk about politics on here. But we figured there would be much better people to bag on his State of the Union than us.
I know Steven Crowder is doing a live thing. Trump is apparently doing a live fact check himself. So that's the one I'm going to watch. And then I know Tucker Carlson is doing a thing like afterwards to go back and fact check it or whatever. But it's just going to be, number one, it's going to be long. Because they're going to stand up and clap after like every sentence. And then you'll see that thing where all the Democrats are standing and clapping and all the Republicans are just sitting there being like, oh, we don't care about that, you know? And then he may or may not say one or two things that like, even the Republicans are like, okay, all right. You know, cause that even happened during Trump. I forget what it was, but he said a thing or two that made both sides stand up. What was that? It doesn't matter. But
well, and it's all going to be bullshit. It's going to be hard. I mean, I'll probably watch it or at least part of it. But it's going to be hard to watch. I can't stand listening to him lie about shit and say things that clearly aren't his words. And
yeah. Well, Andy's going to be like, we've made the biggest economic recovery. Like, we've bashed inflation. He's going to say that he has all these victories that we, as semi-smart people, know, like, that's not, number one, that's not happening, and number two, you did nothing to affect this thing.
Yeah, and his secretary of, or what's her title, the lady who is speaker, what the fuck's her name, what do you call that lady?
The press secretary?
Press, good Lord, Gaither, yeah, the press secretary.
We got a video of her, too.
Okay, well, I love to hear Tucker Carlson bag on her, because she's so stupid, and
I don't think she's stupid. I think she's an excellent actress. I think she's like, she's an improv actress that they're like, okay, don't admit to anything bad about Biden and go. And they're like, oh, okay, we have a picture of Joe Biden holding a dead kitten head and a knife in the other hand. And she'll be like, really, you guys, is this what we're going to talk about today after we've been behind the most biggest economic? All right, whatever.
Well, I'll say this. If she's an actress, she's a great one. And if she's legit, she's fucking stupid.
Yep.
All right, we'll play this one first.
I'd like to understand from you what Trump-era immigration policies have been banned, ended.
I just have to say that so many people in the Biden administration look like villains in a superhero movie. It's like Adam Schiff and guy I can't stand, the Moses, probably Schumer, just I don't like his face, Pelosi, this fucking guy. So many of them, and I'm sure people that hate Republicans or the right or whatever feel the same way, but so many of these people, just if it's a part they're playing, casting did a kick-ass job, because these people are, look at this guy. Anyway.
Yeah, look how much darker his cheeks are than like his around his eyeballs.
Yeah, every time I'm in the airport, I see this guy talking about Homeland Security. I'm just like, shut the fuck up, dude. You're a terrible person. Here we go.
Reversed, and if any investigations are underway by you.
So we have rescinded so many Trump immigration policies, it would take so much time to list them.
Meanwhile,
President Biden said it very frankly and very powerfully from Brownsville, Texas, just a few days ago. We need Congress to have a spine, do its job, which is work for the American people, and rather than allow a problem to fester for political reasons, to actually deliver the solution that everyone agrees is needed.
Why are you waiting to take executive action on the border?
Because we need more forces on the border. I don't have the authority to do that.
We could afford to take in a heartbeat another 2 million people. The idea that a country of 300...
You can't see because the whatever, the words are there, but there's a lady like right in front of him and he's like bending over, like looking her directly in the eyes. It's so creepy. I hate when comedians do that. Like I just stare into the darkness of the lights. I don't ever look anybody in the eye. It just creeps me out. But anyway,
30 million people cannot absorb people who are in desperate need and who are justifiably fleeing oppression is absolutely bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. I would also move to increase the total number of immigrants able to come to the United States.
There you go.
You're confident this border's secure?
We have a secure border in that is a priority for any nation, including ours and our administration. But there are still a lot of problems that we are trying to fix, given the deterioration that happened over the last 4 years.
I want to be very clear. Our borders are not open.
It is my testimony that the border is secure.
We are operating within the constraints of a broken immigration system.
I don't know why they changed his voice there at the end, but before we talk about that, you can play this next video and then we can talk about it all together, because it's all in the same lines, basically, of them just not admitting that it's them that are doing things poorly.
Have you ever noticed how strong Kamala Harris's neck is? Do you think that's from all the blowjobs she's given?
It could be, and no, I've never. I would say neck is not even in the top 10 of things that, unless it's noticeably bad.
Dude, you've never noticed how like buff her neck is? She's just like, we should rewind it and watch. But anyway, here it is. I don't feel like we bag on Kamala enough on this show. So here's Jean-Pierre, however you say her stupid name.
May, the president, I noticed, had note cards at the border when he was doing his briefing there. He also had note cards last Friday with the Italian prime minister. Why does the president rely so heavily on note cards?
You're upset because the president has note cards? You're asking me a question about the president having note cards?
I'm asking why.
The president, who has had probably one of the most successful first.
I so thought right there, sorry, that she was going to say, president who's had two aneurysms and two brain surgeries. Of course he needs fucking note cards.
No, she's saying how he's the best president ever.
I know, but that's so what I, for just a second, I thought, you know, like, wow, of course he's using note cards. He's fucking brain dead. I mean, come on, give the guy a break. Anyway.
3 years of an administration than any modern day president. He's done more in the first 3 years than most presidents who had two terms. You're asking me about note cards? I'm not speaking to you right now, James. I'm talking to your friend over here, Ed. So thank you so much. But thank you so much for interjecting. Go ahead, Ed.
I was just asking why he relies so heavily on note cards.
I think what's important here and what the American people care about is how this president is delivering for them. And that's what he's doing. And that's what's the most important thing here.
Is it?
I'm looking at on whitehouse.gov, they have a list of the Biden-Harris record, and it says top accomplishments. At the top of the list, it says lowering the cost of families' everyday expenses, and I don't see that anywhere. Everything that I buy that I bought 5 years ago is more expensive today than it was then. More people are working than at any point in American history. That's one of those things where, of course, that number is going to get bigger. That's equal to saying, like, there are more people alive today than there ever have been before on Earth. And it's like, yeah, that's not anything you did. That's just because there's more people now. So, of course, there's going to be more people with jobs if there's more people. Plus, a lot of those jobs are second and third jobs that people are having to get because of fucking inflation and whatnot. Making more in America, the Chips and Science Act to make semiconductors in America. That doesn't sound like a terrible thing. Let's see here. I feel like that was sort of a Trump thing though too, where he was saying like, let's quit getting our shit from China.
Yeah.
There's a whole long list of things. Rebuilding our infrastructure, I have yet to see that. Rescued the economy and changed the course of the pandemic. I don't see evidence of that. Historic expansion of benefits and services for toxic exposed veterans. The first meaningful gun violence reduction legislation in 30 years. There's like 10 more things here. I'm not even going to fucking waste our time with them. But the point is, all of those things aren't real things.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. It's just been the biggest sham administration I've ever seen. It's just like someone playing president and playing all these roles. But I've never seen anything like it. Like back in the day, you couldn't really tell the Republican from the Democrat as far as just like in like a speech or a debate or something, especially when I was younger and really didn't know anything about it. Like they all sounded pretty good. And with this administration, it all just sounds like bullshit once your eyes are open to it. Who is this? Is it? That looks like Yoko Ono.
It very well could be, but it is just a random New York citizen. I meant to fact check some of this and I got sidetracked. I didn't. We'll talk about it afterwards, but go ahead and play her first.
Legal. If they were legal, they need to pay taxes.
What do you think is going to happen with the migrant crisis here in New York City?
It's getting bad because they're also next to my house and they piss on my door. I could tell that they're gang lords. I mean, they're tattooed up to head to toe. The people pissing on my door, they're tattooed up head to toe. And they're not, there's no law against illegal migrants committing crimes. So again, it's lawlessness, non-payment of taxes, siphoning all our money to their native countries. And it's just killing our economy. Eric Adams just said he's going to give 4,000 migrants jobs. That means 4,000 civilians have less jobs. It's just not fair to Americans. It's getting scary. Right now, you know, people in the Bronx are getting attacked. People Upper East Side, two of them just got attacked. And it's illegal to buy mace. It's illegal to protect yourself.
That's what I wanted to look up. Is it illegal to buy mace in New York? Pepper sprays and gels can only be sold by licensed firearm dealers and licensed pharmacists. Purchases must be made in person, as it is illegal to ship pepper spray to New York. There is a maximum of 2 sprays per purchase. I think they mean sprayers. No, it's not illegal. Oh, here, hold on. Here's the thing on Reddit. Is it legal to carry pepper spray, and what is the penalty if caught? And the top comment says, considering I bought my wife's can of it from AutoZone in New York City, I highly doubt it's illegal to have, LOL.
Yeah, I was going to say, I believe I bought one for my wife at like the checkout counter of some Walgreens or something. Like, oh, here's mace. That'd be a good thing for her to have. So I don't know.
But then this guy says, if you have to defend yourself in New York City, you will go to jail for sure. The crime of armed robbery is way less serious than self-defense. Try it for yourself and see. Good old Reddit. All right, so I'll take that video down. The one, either one.
Okay, what's going on?
United Kingdom, there was a headline that said that breathing causes climate change. The "you're the carbon they are trying to reduce" meme is becoming a little too real for my liking. But we have to think about what that means. We now live in a time where we have to justify our entire existence to our Malthusian overlords. And so I cannot stress enough, ladies and gentlemen, how critical it is that we recognize and reject the manipulative argumentation that they confront us with. What the people who use these types of arguments are trying to instill in you is that your rights are dependent on your compliance and your obedience. But if there is one thing that your founding fathers understood, it is that your rights are your rights, not because the government says so, but because God says so.
Boom.
Who is that?
I don't remember. I think she was at Turning Point USA or whatever, whenever that was in the last week or so.
Okay. Excuse me. What's Trumpy saying here?
This is Biden saying, like, Trump said all this stuff was going to happen, and look how great things are. It's like a little back and forth. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed in myself. I was going through my laptop the other day, looking at some old clips and stuff, and I came across this thing I made, and I made a few of these videos. I probably talked about it back when the election hadn't even happened yet, about what was going to happen and what Biden was going to do and how it was going to be bad for everyone and those kind of things. And I'm really disappointed in myself that I didn't have the guts to put it up, because I thought maybe I sounded crazy or whatever. But most of the things that I said came true, and I'm like, damn it, Gaither. You know, like, I get so mad at myself sometimes. And I made some good ones like that. I made a really great one about COVID, and I never put it up. So anyway.
Yeah, hopefully we're all snapping out of that, because I'm still in it a little bit, you know. I still say that I'm a Trump supporter. If I mention it on stage, I'll still say it like, what's the word? Like, abashedly, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like, yeah, I like him, you know, like, I like what I like. Like, come on, don't be mad at me for it. Instead of just being like, he's the best fucking president we've ever had. Like, I wish that I had that moxie or whatever, but there's still, like, that's how good their propaganda is because there's still a part of me that's like, God, I hope that he's not a piece of shit, and I hope that if he is, like, that news doesn't come out and get him in trouble and ruin this whole thing, you know. But then that goes back to there being a plan or not, and it's like, of course they had to. If there is a plan, they had to know they were going to go after every aspect of this guy's entire life. So he had to know about this years ago, or he had to just be naturally a super squeaky clean guy, you know?
Yeah, I'm that way when it comes to when I'm talking to black people, especially. Like, we'll be having this good conversation, and I think about, like, should I say anything positive about Trump, or are they going to look at me like, oh, I didn't know you were one of those? I still worry about that stuff, but, you know, more and more people of all different races and whatever, they're all waking up to it, at least I think. But the people who are most, the people who voice their opinions the most about it are usually the ones who still hate him. And we're never going to get everyone on board. It's just, you know, it's just not, it's not a real goal, I don't think. So,
well, geez. I know I saw a thing the other day that was talking about, I don't know if it was just independent voters or if it was all voters that they were polling, but I know, like, the black people that they polled were at, like, I want to say above 20%. Like, Democrats historically get 90%+ of the black vote, you know? So for Trump to even get whatever he got, I forget what it was, above 10%, was like, oh God. And now the latest poll that came out is Trump is above 20% with black voters and has a majority of Latino voters. And Biden has a minority of Latino voters. Yeah. So even that, I mean, with the wall, with all that shit, with the rapist thing, like everything they tried to, with the whipping the migrants, remember that story? Like all that shit. They're just trying to turn Latino people away from Trump, and they're just not buying it. And now that they're seeing, like, a lot of these Latino voters, granted, a lot of them, like, their great grandparents came here or whatever, so they're just full on American, you know, but a lot of them are like, we both got squeaky chairs today. I was listening to my own while we had some videos playing, but a lot of these Latino voters had to wait years before they could become a citizen, you know, like they had to deal with all the bullshit and the studying for the test and showing up to buildings with certain paperwork and all of this bullshit and waiting years and years for their interviews and all that stuff. And then finally becoming citizens. And then they see people just crossing the border, and not only are they letting them stay, they're giving them money and shit and giving them places to live. Like, they, nobody likes to see somebody else. It's like that thing where you've got like two monkeys in a cage, and you give one monkey like a green bean, and then you give the other one like a chocolate chip cookie. And the green bean monkey sees the cookie monkey, and he'll look at you like, dude, what the fuck? And he'll fucking throw the green bean back at you. I don't want this. Like, if you're giving free shit to people, I want the best thing, you know? Like, that's just natural, not just human nature, monkey nature also, apparently. But, like, it's not good for our citizens to see other people that aren't citizens get a bunch of free shit and get all of this extra respect and whatnot. Like, that's what's it's comparable to everything else, where it's like, this person, yeah, they're struggling and they can be equal to me, but that doesn't mean that they're above me. Like, you know, yeah, if you want to dress however you want or identify however you want, fine, you can be equal to me. So if I say that I'm a fucking professional bodybuilder, you get to scoff at me the same way that I'm going to scoff at you if you tell me that you're a woman now. Like, that doesn't mean that I hate you. That doesn't mean that I won't work with you or be at a place where you are, but it just means that I know how your brain works. You know, I said this, I don't know if it was last week, but I know I've said it recently. Like, it's no different than wearing a vampire costume and being like, I'm a vampire now. Like, anybody that's like, you sure are, they're just placating you. They're just trying to make you feel good. Or they see somebody else say like, oh, you know, that guy's a real vampire. And they're like, oh, okay, I'll play along with that.
Yeah. Well, like you would with a lot of mentally ill people, you'd be like, yeah, sure you are, buddy. I'm going to, you know, never have to talk to you again. But yeah.
Right. They're like, do you hear the sounds? Do you hear the birds talking? The birds are giving us messages. And you're like, all right. Well, have a good day. I'm going to work. And then maybe you'll see him a week later. Hey, buddy, how are the birds? Same way that I would be like, what's up, vampire? What's up, Mrs. Johnson? Clearly Mrs. now. Like, you know, it's all a joke. Like, how easy is your life that this is what you get to put all of your eggs in this basket? Like, you get to put all of your mental energy into being upset that people aren't convinced that you are a thing that you are clearly not.
Yeah, it's a crazy world, dude. What is this? This is the Trump one. Okay, let's play this guy. This is with him and Biden going back and forth.
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
Making some pretty bold predictions about how things would turn out.
But if Biden wins, your borders are gone, the middle class is gone, your safety is gone.
Gas prices going $5, $6, $7 for a gallon.
Flood your communities with criminal aliens, drugs and crime. You spend trillions of dollars rebuilding foreign nations, fighting foreign wars, and defending foreign borders.
So for all those predictions of doom and gloom, here's where we stand.
Do you want to use the word recession or depression?
And you know Biden, he can't stand up to the lunatics running his party. He can't even find his way off the stage without him.
Look, the bottom line is this.
I say you're not doing a very good job.
Well said, sir.
God, I've said it a million times, but it is not healthy how much I can't stand Joe Biden. His face is fucking everything about him. That's why it's going to be very hard for me to sit through his State of the Union address.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm going to watch Trump play by play it or whatever, because I assume it'll be on True Social or Rumble or something like that. RSBN, do you ever watch that?
No.
The Right Side Broadcasting Network. They have a Rumble channel, but it'll probably be on Trump's like actual Rumble channel. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't even know when it starts, actually. Reminder, Trump to deliver live play-by-play of Biden's State of the Union tonight at 9 Eastern. Tune in to True Social, the real voice of America.
All right. Well, that's in an hour and 45 minutes for me, so.
Yeah,
I'll try to watch some of that.
We do have I screen captured a Trump video that he posted on Instagram like 30 minutes before we started. This is the most recent video that we have. It's also 3.5 minutes long, so we can either watch this or this other thing of Jim Jordan talking in Congress today about you know, the government spying on people and calling people criminals and shit like that. It's a longer video, but it's pretty succinct, and I liked it enough to put it on here.
Which one should we do then? You want to do both of them, or you just want to do one of them?
Yeah, we'll do Jim Jordan first and then see how we feel.
Okay.
Government was colluding with big tech to censor Americans. That's the first thing we learned. But now it's big government colluding with big banks and big business to spy on everything Americans buy, every place they go, everything they do. Big government wants your financial data because it's full of sensitive information about you. Our investigation started when an FBI whistleblower, George Hill, came forward and talked to the committee. Mr. Hill was supervisory intelligence analyst at the FBI up in the Boston field office, told the committee that the FBI got information from Bank of America. Specifically, it received a list of any customer who made purchases in the Washington, D.C. area January 5th through 7th, 2021. The whistleblower supervisor, special agent in charge of the Boston field office, Mr. Bonavolanta, corroborated Mr. Hill's testimony when he spoke to the committee. And so did Steve Jensen, the FBI's domestic terrorism operations section chief. But it wasn't just purchase data around a specific date that the FBI got from Bank of America. That was actually also overlaid with any firearm purchase at any time. And how did the FBI get this information? They asked for it. In fact, you can see on the display on the screen here the email that was sent. The FBI told Bank of America, to recap our morning call, we are prepared to action immediately the following threshold customers confirmed as transacting business in Washington, D.C. between these specific dates. So if you're in Washington, D.C., visiting your kids, maybe visiting your aunt, or maybe just a friend, the FBI wanted to know about every single purchase you made. And if you're a gun owner, look out, you're going to the top of the list. For simply exercising your Second Amendment right, you're on the FBI's target list.
What happened?
Sorry, I was muted. The FBI contacted Bank of America and they were like, hey, tell us anybody who spent money in Washington, D.C. on January 5th or 6th or around that time. And they got a whole list of everybody who used a card there or an ATM or anything like that. And then they crossed that list with anybody who owned guns. And those are the people that they went after first.
Never forget, the federal government got this information without any process. No warrant. And frankly, no notification. The bank didn't tell the customer that we're handing this information over to the FBI, the most powerful law enforcement agency in the world. Now, these FBI agents, Mr. Hill, Mr. Bonabalata, Mr. Jensen, they all said this was wrong and in fact sent the information back to FBI headquarters in D.C. So that's how our investigation began. But since then, we continue to investigate, but since then, we've learned that the financial surveillance was broader and there was actually a specific objective. The federal government is building profiles on the American people. And the profile isn't based on criminal conduct, it's based on political beliefs. And if you got the wrong political beliefs, well, you're potentially a domestic violent extremist. Now, how are they actually doing this? What are the mechanics of this? There's this entity we've discovered called the Domestic Security Alliance Council, kind of Orwellian in sound and title, the DSAC. And this is an entity where the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, works with 650 of the largest companies in the world. These companies have to do over $1 billion in revenue a year. They represent 2/3 of the gross domestic product of the United States economy. And they work through this controlled access portal. We'll put that on the screen here. What are they sharing in this secret portal? Well, we're not exactly sure because it's secret, but we do know that they share some information, share reports. And one of the reports we got called a liaison information report said this: any American who opposes firearm legislation, the easing of immigration restrictions, and COVID mandates is someone banks should be watching because, again, they might be an extremist. Now stop and think about that for a second. I mean, just in other words, if you're against gun registration, you're for a secured border, you oppose lockdowns and vaccine mandates, you're a domestic violent extremist, according to the FBI. And the government should get your data, should get your financial data. It actually gets worse. The federal government and banks also use what they call merchant category codes to flag Americans that shop at places like Bass Pro Shop and Cabela's. They flagged Americans who bought religious text. We can show you that one too. Because everybody knows if you want a secure border and you oppose COVID lockdowns, then you probably shop at Bass Pro Shops and you read your Bible. And of course, all that makes you an extremist. Literally, that is the logic that you see displayed from the information we've been able to gather thus far in our investigation. Now remember, these are also the same folks who just a couple years ago told us if you're a parent showing up at a school board meeting, you're a terrorist. If you're a pro-life Catholic, you're an extremist. Now, of course, if you oppose lockdowns, vaccine mandates, want a secure border, don't want gun registration, you're in that category as well. This is scary where things are headed. We've seen the censorship. Now we see what's happening with big banks and big government relative to your financial data. Again, all this being done with no process, no warrant, no notification to the customer that the banks are actually supposed to serve. Big government's not supposed to use big tech to censor Americans, and big government shouldn't be working with big banks to target Americans for behavior that is legal and constitutional. And that's the concern. That's why we're having this hearing.
Wow. Communism 101, dude. I mean, that's what that is, right? That's completely bullshit.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is completely bullshit. It's not exactly communism. It's more fascism, I guess. It's like, you know, the government controlling all businesses, basically. It's just a... as opposed to the government being like, we're in charge and you got to do what we say, banks, then they're just, over the course of the last 10 or 20 years, they've put people in positions at those banks that won't even question any of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's no like, give us this info or we're going to do something bad to you. It's like, hey, buddy, you want to give me all this info that I'm asking for? And they're like, sure. Here you go. Go get them. Go get those dirty Trump people. Like, they're all in it together.
Yeah, most of our money is in a credit union. And tomorrow, the only thing we have in a big bank is my business account is in a Bank of America. And I'm going to go tomorrow and close that account and put all my money in our credit union in a different account. I've just had that account forever, but I don't want to be part of big banks anymore.
Yeah. Well, my bank got bought out by another bank and I never really looked into it that much because they did such a good job of making it super easy. I had a Bank of the West for the last 15 years or whatever. And they just got bought out by BMO Bank, which I'm pretty sure is Chinese or Canadian or something. I know it's not like ever since like I was 15, I've always thought like eventually one company is going to just own everything. And we're getting closer and closer to it. I read a thing the other day about Apple thinking about buying Disney because Disney stock is like the lowest that it's been in a while. And they're struggling a lot because of all this woke shit. You know, it's the same with all these other companies that are struggling, like Vice News and like, I don't know what the other ones are right now off the top of my head, but all these like super left wing newspaper online things are just either completely going under or laying off like large percentages of their employees because this model is not working anymore. People are starting to wake up, you know?
Yeah. Well, they can't wake up quick enough for me. Because, man, it gets frustrating, the people who still are not. And there's a lot of them. I say this all the time. And anytime I see a poll with Biden, like 60% of Americans, I'm like, that's still a lot of Americans. You know, 40% is still a lot. But I don't have any faith in polls anyway. I think, you know, most of them are bullshit. I've never, even when I took stats classes and high-level stats classes, I'm like, this still doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, but the aggregate is what it's all about. You know, if you have 10 different polls from 10 completely different companies and you take the average of all of them, like you can still get a pretty good idea, you know?
Yeah. All right. Well, let's watch this Trump video and then we'll close this wonderful podcast out.
All right.
All right. Here he is.
He's on the run from his record and lying like crazy to try and escape accountability for the horrific devastation he and his party have created, all the while they continue the very policies that are causing this horror show to go. We cannot take it any longer as a country. Joe Biden's sad excuse for a State of the Union address aside, here are the facts. When I left office, we gave Joe Biden the most secure border in U.S. history. We gave him Remain in Mexico, very tough to get, but I got it. Safe Third Agreements, the asylum ban, Title 42, 571 miles of border wall, rapid deportations, and much more. We had the safest border in the history of our country. As soon as he got in, Crooked Joe and his radical left lunatics deliberately dismantled each and every one of those policies that were so good, that gave us this best border. According to Tom Homan, according to Brandon Judd, the top people, they said it was the single best border we've ever had in recorded history. What's happened now is a horror show. The country, our country, is being laughed at all over the world. Over the past 3 years, Biden has actively aided and abetted the importation of millions and millions of illegal alien migrants and resettle them into your communities. At any time during the past 3 years, crooked Joe Biden, and he is crooked as you can be and the most incompetent president we've ever had, could have called off the invasion. But to this day, he is keeping the hordes of illegal migrants and illegal aliens pouring into the country. By the time his term is up, we could have close to 20 million people in our country. And we have no idea from where they come. We have no idea who they are. They have no identification. Many come from mental institutions. Many come from prisons. They're terrorists. We have a calamity the likes of which we've never seen before. The very first bill Joe Biden sent to Congress was a plan to turn illegal aliens into voting citizens. That's just what we need. No matter what Crooked Joe says, his actions prove his priority is to import a colossal new illegal alien population and let them all stay. My priority is securing our border and sending Crooked Joe's illegals back home. Likewise, the sight of a feeble Joe Biden talking about shrinkflation, the term he uses, is one of the most ridiculous things this country has ever seen. Shrinkflation is just another way of saying inflation. It means that you're losing a lot of money because these people don't know what they're doing. It was all caused by Crooked Joe Biden and the people that surround him. And they are radical left Marxists and fascists and communists and socialists. We have people running our country, the likes of which we have never seen before. He and the communists and his party looted trillions of dollars from you and spent it on illegal aliens and the Green New Scam, triggering the highest inflation in many, many decades. If your packages are getting smaller, that's the reason why, under my leadership, there was no inflation. We had the greatest economy in the history of the world. It's time to tell Crooked Joe Biden, you're fired.
Do you know what shrinkflation means?
Not really. I saw Dum Dum popping off about it on the Super Bowl.
It's like 15 years ago, a bottle of Gatorade, let's say it cost $2. It was 36 ounces. A few years ago, a bottle of Gatorade was 30 ounces. And today, a bottle of Gatorade is 28 ounces. So they, but the prices are the same. Or if anything, they've gone up. You know, right. A bottle of Gatorade's fucking $3 or $4 now. But that's what shrinkflation is. They don't raise the prices. That's inflation. Shrinkflation is keeping the price the same, but giving you less of what's in the thing.
Yeah. So yeah. I guess I do know what it means then.
Smaller bags of chips, like two fewer Oreos in a case, like things like that. Like those little things add up when you're a company that's making 10 million packages of Oreos, you know? You're like, fuck, we just saved 20 million Oreo cookies. Like, and they're what, 10 cents a piece or whatever. That's, I don't even know.
Yeah.
It's impossible to do that math.
And it's such a small amount that most people don't even notice, but the companies profit like you wouldn't believe off of it.
Yeah. But you can tell if you, like had something a lot as a kid and then you get one today. For me, that, the one that jumped out at me the most was oatmeal cream pies, because my mom used to buy a box of oatmeal cream pies like once a week. That was like my fat kid guilty pleasure, you know, and I can fucking remember the size of an oatmeal cream pie. And my grandma got a box a few weeks ago and I opened it up and this thing was like just so tiny. And I'm like, maybe I've grown. Maybe that could be some of it, but I don't think it is. Like they are definitely smaller than they once were. Twinkies are the same way. Like I saw a video of a guy who had like an old box of Twinkies from back in the 70s or something. And it was literally like twice the size of today's Twinkie.
Yeah, yeah, I remember oatmeal cream pies. You could buy a box for like a dollar. I bet they're like $8 now.
They're like $2.99 or something, but still, yeah,
but they're tiny.
They are tiny, yeah. And I haven't like what was another one? What did I get recently? Fig Newtons. My grandma got a container of Fig Newtons. You know, they used to have a sleeve, you know, like a whole long sleeve of them. Now they have the box contains individually wrapped two Fig Newtons things. So there were like 8 individually wrapped pairs of Fig Newtons in this box that was shaped the exact same as the Fig Newton box with the sleeves and shit. It was conniving, you know?
Yeah.
I opened it up and I was expecting to slide that thing out and grab 4 out of the sleeve. It was on low carb cheat day, by the way. But yeah, I opened it up and I was like, what the fuck? Individually wrapped? Why?
Yeah. God, I love some Fig Newtons, man. I think we've got some under the counter. I've been doing that thing too where I cheat once a week. It's only been 1 week so far, but I'm going to tear into some Fig Newtons on Friday.
Yeah, do it. I need to start exercising, man. I'm getting, my weight is fine now. I just need some abs. I need to work on my guns. They're very non-gunny right now.
Yeah, I've been doing P90X again. It's freaking hard, but it's when you're done, it's very satisfying.
Yeah, that's how all work is.
Yeah, I know. Speaking of work, I got a couple things to do. So unless you have anything else to say.
No, we should put this episode up ASAP because maybe people will watch it while they're looking for time to kill before the State of the Union.
Yeah,
or we can just post it tomorrow. Whatever.
Well, we'll get it up. We'll get it up as soon as we possibly can. It won't be too much longer.
All right, cool. Well, yeah, if you watch this on Thursday or Friday. Oh, wait. Well, I'm going to Oklahoma City. I have a show Friday night, but it's at a country club and it's like a private event or something. But I've heard from other comics that it's a good gig. So I look forward to telling you about that next week. Great time in Indianapolis last week. Probably should have covered all this at the beginning, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, we had like they were struggling for a while, especially during COVID and stuff. I did a few shows there where there were like 5 people in the audience, and I went there this weekend. We had like 55 on Friday, and then we had well over 100 on Saturday. So they're turning around nicely, and I got a little bonus even.
I'm gonna email her or text her when I'm done here, and see what she says. See what she has to say to me. I used to love working in Indianapolis.
Yeah, it's a fun little room.
Yeah, well, I've got some free flights too, I think so.
Oh yeah, man. I've been staying in different hotels and stuff for, you know, 20 years, and I signed up for like Wyndham Rewards like a decade ago, and then just never did anything with it. And I stayed at another like a Super 8 or something last week, and they were like, "Are you a Wyndham member?" And I was like, "No, but I should sign up for that." And I gave the guy my phone number, and he was like, "No, you're already a member. It says here you signed up in 2011 or something like that." And I was like, I probably have 1,000,000 points from all the hotels I've stayed at that I just never collected. And there's nothing I can do about it now. And the guy's like, "Nope, you got to give us your number every time."
Yeah, my wife turned me on to all that shit. I used to never sign up for any of that stuff. And now I benefit from it all the time. And I'm like, damn it, I wish I would have done this a long time ago. But
yep.
Anyway. We can talk about this when we say goodbye to these good people. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I'll be in Crescent City, California, March 16th at a place called Elk City Casino, I believe it's called. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'll tell you guys next Thursday about it. But it's in Crescent City. I think it's called the Elk Valley Casino is what it is, actually. But anyway, my wife and boy are on their way home, so I'm going to say goodbye to you guys. And thanks for tuning in. God bless all of you, and take care. Goodbye.
Goodbye.